You're listening to The People's Pitch, the official podcast of Minneapolis City Soccer Club, brought to you by footballstadiumprince.com. Let's start the show.
And as I talked about just a couple minutes ago, as Joe Watt stands over this one, he appears to be the one taking the penalty here. This is a huge confidence booster if you're a Duluth.
Worst case
Elder
scenario for City
for
right
more.
Here.
And it stopped!
Yes!
And it stopped!
Totally
Matt
redeems
Elder.
Himself.
Matt Elder redeeming himself! Oliver with the right foot. The shot is
goal! Oliver!
And Justin Oliver will break the scoreless tie. And it is 1-0 Minneapolis City. It's Hutton now on the offense with the left foot.
And another goal!
And it is now 2-0 Minneapolis
oh, yes!
City.
Good finish.
Nick Hutton taking his quick victory lap.
Our back soccer friends, the spring has broken, the weather is getting warmer, and real soccer is getting that much closer. This is the People's Pitch Podcast, the official podcast of your Minneapolis City Soccer Club. I'm your host, John, and with me today, as always, the voice of Minneapolis City Game Day, the Nate Morales. Nate, how was your break, man?
Yeah, you know, I didn't really get one. With a four-year-old, you don't get to spring break. The real question, I guess, is how was yours, man? Did you get a lot of beads?
Hit
up a couple foam parties?
All the foam parties. So many cheeks. So many cheeks.
Excellent.
Yeah. Luckily, I had the reflecting sunglasses on that day. No, it was good, man. Went to the Tampa Bay Air Show and got to see the Thunderbirds.
Oh, sweet.
Thunderbirds. But anytime you can see like F-18s flying like 18 inches away from each other and flying like 100 yards over your head, pretty damn cool. Unless you're in like a war zone, then I bet it's probably not cool.
Probably.
But no, it was good. It was really good. It was a good fresh way to refresh. But actually where my in-laws live, just outside of Tampa, is where Florida Premier, the ECNL club, has their headquarters, like right outside their community. So actually I hopped on one of their e-bikes for one night, and I saw the lights were on at the soccer park, so I went over and watched a U17 ECNL game.
Oh yeah, how'd they look?
Pretty good. It was funny because I was like packing a backpack with like a couple beers, and Jesse's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm getting ready to go to the soccer game. She's like, you can't take beers to like a kid's soccer park. I was like,
I do what
I
want.
I can't. This is my first rodeo, lady. So I was like, I'm gonna be the envy, like the dads who don't know who the hell I am are gonna see me crushing beers in the corner, just chilling out, posting up on
it.
Yeah, they're gonna think I'm awesome.
Well, I mean, that's a good segue, man. When you talk about U17s and watching some young guys play soccer, because today's show has a primary focus on a couple things. The first being the Futures Winter League. It wrapped up. And we've got some key takeaways from that. So speaking of the youth, and then we're going to move on and talk a little bit about player signings. Of course, we gotta keep covering all the announced players on the USL2 side for 2024. And then we can't sign off without talking about the member event, April 18th.
Yep.
Make sure we press hard on that. I'm going to be there.
I'm going to be there as well, Nate.
Nice.
Well, before we start, Nate, we got to cover off on a little bit of sad news to report from the club. Longtime supporter and father of former Crow legend Keith Hoof, was recently diagnosed with a severe stomach cancer and is going to start undergoing chemotherapy this coming week. So Keith, who was on this show, which if you go back to the archives, a fantastic show,
yeah.
Getting a Crow parent on, it was a first for us. But he's one of the nicest people on the planet. And, you know, basically, it's just one of those fuck cancer scenarios. Like, cancer is never good, but like when it hits someone like Keith Hoof, it's just it hits a little bit closer to home. He's such a good person. So he and his family have asked, you know, for something super simple. Just keep him in your thoughts. You know, if you're a praying type person, you know, just think about him in your prayers as they navigate this difficult time. But you know, in my opinion, cancer is for sure about to get hoofed. So good luck, Keith. Your soccer support system within the show, Nate and I, but also within the club is definitely behind you. So we wish you nothing but the best as you go through this difficult time.
Yeah, man. Awful to read, awful to hear. Keith is one of the good ones, and I just if you go back and listen to that show, the story that he told about Kevin and how he'd always drive him around and just all the dumb dad jokes he would make and how it just wouldn't stop. It's like, God, that's so perfect. It, like, you can just see it come to life whenever you see Kevin around. It's like Kevin inherited some dad jokes. So hopefully we'll be able to see him. I'll be able to see him again behind. He had some seats behind us at MNUFC. So it's always good to see Keith, and I'm sure cancer is about to get hoofed.
Yeah,
as you said,
hoof it.
Last show, John, we continued to profile the next round of roster announcements. And since then, man, the players just keep rolling in across the old social media. And so we've got another big group tonight to talk about. Big group has been announced that includes some old faces and, you know, some new faces and some guys that I've been waiting to be announced for a little bit that I've heard some rumblings about that I'm real excited for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, go ahead and dive in, Nate.
Yeah, first up, hey, let's cover off on the veteran that has been announced. Jonah Garcia back as a center back. I think we all know who this guy is, but just in case, John, what's up with Jonah? Yeah.
So Jonah is in his seventh season with the Crows, making him the true OG.
I can't believe it.
He was the vice captain last year and started out as an open trialist from like way back in the day. But since then, firmly cemented his place in the club immediately, and just been a fantastic servant of the club. You know, whether it's on the field or off the field, you know, mentoring a lot of the futures players in the beginning. You know, albeit under the guise of him recruiting them for his coaching stops. But hey, he was always there. We were a little late, but he was always there, and he was a good mentor for some of those players within the youth setup.
I feel like he was the originator of that strategy, where he was the first one to figure it out. Like, I'm going to show up at Futures and get some guys for Augsburg.
Oh yeah, well, there was in the squad this year, there was 12 Futures players on their roster. So yeah, he figured it out. But as far as a player goes, I mean, no disrespect, Jonah, he's not getting any younger, but he's one of those guys that like is timeless. Like, he's fit as a fiddle. And from a playing perspective, I think he just reads the game so well. And, you know, it's all in front of him being a center back. And I thought last season, you know, two years ago, I thought in our first year in the USL, I thought it was definitely a feeling out period for Jonah. A lot of very, very big, fast, strong, dynamic attackers from the Division I ranks that he was facing, and for the first time, you know. And I thought that last year it kind of came together for him. He was consistently a member of the back line, and I thought that like the number one thing for me that improved on last year was his passing out of the back. I thought that a lot of our attack started with a Jonah Garcia line breaking pass, and a lot of the attack was through possession that at least started or started with or started from Jonah. So I you know, last thing I'll say is I think now he goes into the main voice in that locker room and can truly start to work with someone like Max Kent to enlighten the players that are coming in, whether it's second year guys that just need that reminder, or it's new players that are coming in of like what it really means to play for Minneapolis City and like what we're all about and why it's so special.
Yeah. I mean, what do you say about Jonah, except that he's a club legend who this offseason decided to dabble in competitive CrossFit and then started winning like nationally.
Yeah.
Like he Internet. And Samo he went to Vegas and he won the he qualified for an international contest, and they won that too. The guy is a beast, and like you said, he's not getting any younger, but man, he is getting fitter and fitter every year. It's like he's unreal. It's unreal with this guy.
And I constantly have to tell him, like, you know, like, and I bet you probably feel the same way, like, Jonah, when my wife's around, can you please put a shirt on?
I'm not allowed to talk about that.
I try my best, dude, but like, just, yeah, I'm 43 years old. Like, put a shirt on, please.
Up next, John, is another returning player that I'm excited to see with the murder again. It's Scotty Heinen, who I think we kind of knew about this. This is an older announcement, but we haven't covered him yet. He's going to be slotting in at center mid.
Yep. So Scotty's in his third year with the Crows, and he's one of two members of this year's team that's a holdover from the old Prunty MC2 undefeated team. The Gustavus man
took
a year off.
Feels like just yesterday.
What's that?
It feels like it was just yesterday.
Oh yeah, I know. I saw a clip on social media, like a reminder, and it was a picture of that preseason, and I was like, oh man, what a good year that was. But anyways, the Gustavus man took a year off, played some lower level professional soccer in Germany, and then came back, in my opinion, like a totally different player. Like, he always had that markup of a solid central midfielder, but what I thought where he grew is what he gained is just that the cerebral piece of it. Like, I think that the Germans kind of showed him a different way to view soccer, mm-hmm. and just the organization piece as a central player. I scrutinize those players a little more because that was my home when I was a competitive soccer player. Yeah, and yeah. He just reads the game so well that maybe there's some athleticism pieces. No disrespect, Scotty, but when you're playing against some younger players and at the pedigree that is in the USL2, you need to be an outthinker. And that's what I saw of Scotty last year. And then I thought that actually unlocked for him his abilities with the ball and without the ball that he had when he was in his time at Gustavus. So we had him on the show. So talking about what we're going to talk about here next, he's newly minted as the U19 futures coach, and go back and listen to that and talk a little bit with him about, you know, his philosophy and what he's looking for in this new setup for Minneapolis City. But he's finishing up his first year also as the second in command at Gustavus University for the men's side. So he's dabbling. He knows what he's going to do after the playing days are over, which is great. But now he's going to double dip this season in the summer with the Crows.
Yeah, how awesome is that? And I'll call it right now, John. Here is your Minneapolis Mikel Arteta right here. Scotty is a sharp soccer mind. He's got the ability to translate that to results for himself on the field, for players, when he's directing them. I think this is going to be... I mean, the fact that he's sticking around and he's assisting down at Gustavus is just going to help him grow. And if he can stick around the club and continue to develop as a coach and potentially as a player, he could be around the club for a good number of years. So hopefully we get used to seeing Scotty Heinen around.
I'm going to one up you. I'm going to say he's more of a Xavi Alonso than a Miguel.
Wow. I mean, he is. Wow. I mean, the year he's having, that's much better.
All right, who we got next?
My man Andrew Szczęsny, defensive. I guess you know, he plays right back, right? He's a junior at Boston University.
Yeah, the Terriers. So Andrew is in his third year with the Crows and the second member of the famed MC2 Prunty team. He featured in 14 games for the Terriers, starting 6 last year. Just a fantastic locker room guy, and he's one of those players that we love to have that just leads by the effort that they put out on the field as an outside defender or wherever he's deployed. He really does like to get forward and join the attack, but also like most defenders that we also like around here, they get forward, but they also get back and lock down those attackers. And we saw in his MC2 days that he can be flexible playing that deep center midfield role, which might be attractive as a support system this season for Coach Craig. You never know when you need another number 6. So really, really excited to have Andrew back. And, you know, he's part of that Shattuck contingent and just as, you know, old buddies with a lot of the guys on the team. And I think kind of the fulcrum of kind of turning some of those players to come play with us, which we love to have that. So really excited to have Andrew back.
Andrew's probably got one of my favorite runs of play from 2023. I think it was against Duluth. When he took a guy out of his shoes, the guy got up and basically dragged him down from behind. And then Andrew just stood over the ball, waited, took the free kick, and delivered the perfect delivery into the box for the goal. So like you said, he's great going forward. He's got great delivery from the wing, strong defensive skills. He's a great addition to the team.
Yep, absolutely.
New guy alert coming up next. We've got Henry Tophoven, forward, out of Florida Southern, 8/ the University of Wisconsin. John, who in the heck is Henry Tophoven?
Outside of having a fantastic name, he's in a, obviously, first year with the Crows, comes to us via the open trial. Like, I literally got his player request form, was like, I'm calling this guy immediately. And I did. he's a left-footed German attacker. He can play across all three positions in the front line. He's able to create for himself from a goal-scoring perspective. But I think the one key thing is he is a more than willing link-up man, whether he's coming from the outside or he's centrally deployed, which love to have that. You know, you want your attackers to be goal scorers, but also you want them to be connecting up with others around them. And for 3 years of playing Big Ten soccer at Wisconsin, where he featured in 21 games with 13 starts, scoring 4 goals and 5 assists, again, link-up play there. He went off to his graduate year at Division II Florida Southern, where I think that's where it unlocked everything for Henry. He featured in 16 games in that single season there, starting 15 of them, scored 16 goals in 16 games, and then had 3 assists. He was voted all SSC first team, which I assume is their conference. He was a D2 CCA all South region first team. He was a Division II Conference Commissioner Association All-American second team, United Soccer Coaches Division II All-Southern Region second team, and college the CSC Academic All-American team member of the year. So comes with some accolades. And since he did come through the open trial process, he has moved to the cities and has spent the winter training with the U21 Futures program. So he's putting in the work, try to get sharp again after graduating, but has a full-time job here and moved here for a girl. Love that, right? So
that always works out
well, and he stays.
Hey, you know what? Move here for a girl, stay here for the soccer. This is one of those signings, John, that illustrates just how hard it must be for the staff over the years, especially now, to keep their eyes on talent. Like, sure, you start with local guys who have gone on to play it in college, D1, D2, D3. You kind of have seen them, especially with the Futures and MC2 being around, right? But every once in a while, there's this guy like Henry who could not have at all have been on your radar that just kind of shows up. And it's just, like you said, you just got to pounce on him.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I did.
Without Eli this year, we're going to need someone that can score goals. And I hope Henry can show flashes of that and keep the Crows on the scoreboard for sure.
Well, and we have never had a left-footed attacker. And it's not to say that his foot's a kickstand, but we've never had someone that we truly can deploy as a left-footer. And that caught, I mean, well, Hakeem is left-footed. Never mind. I just hate my words. We've never had two of them. So there we go.
Next up, John, Otis Anderson, name that I'm familiar with, and we've seen lined up against us. He's a center midfielder, also plays defense for Gustavus Adolphus College.
Yeah, recent graduate. It's been a long courtship between the Crows and Otis.
He's graduating this year, right? Did he graduate already?
He was his fifth-year senior this year. He has since graduated. But like I said, it was a long courtship with Otis. He came to us 3 years ago off of a finally coming back from a reconstruction of his a knee reconstruction. So wasn't quite ready yet. And I remember talking with him and talking with his college coaches saying, like, it's a lot like the Aiden O'Driscoll story we always tell, where it's like, not right, not yet, but, you know, we don't have a spot for you. We will at some point, hang in there with us. And then we would kind of keep checking in, and it just didn't work out. The last two seasons, Otis played for the St. Croix Legends and decided to finally make the shift over to the right side of town. But he's a hard-nosed kind of lunch pail type player who can just own the central part of a field. And he can also contribute on the offensive end. He finished up his college career playing 72 games, Nate. So he's a veteran of 72 college games, scored 12 goals and had 15 assists, moving from center back into central midfield. Two-time All-MIAC, All-Region first team, third-team All-American, and he was a Scholar All-American last year. So he has definitely grown a lot since coming back from his knee injury, and I'm super happy to have him because he is definitely one of those players that you can deploy in a couple different ways that you just need on the team.
Super flexible. I've seen Otis play at Gustavus and at St. Croix for 2 years, last 2 years, and he has been, he's going to be a great addition to the squad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Up next, another guy who has been kind of in and out and is nice to have landed again with the Crows. It's Bernard Asabi Rule, a forward. Yep.
Bernard,
Central Arkansas.
Very much like Otis a little bit here. Bernard's in his third year with the Crows, though. Last season, he left the club to play with St. Croix Legends. Didn't really work out for Bernard in St. Croix. I think he featured in maybe three games over the summer, maybe four. I could be wrong. It could be more than that. But it seemed like only three or four. And I think that the shift was, I think, for him leaving us was more around playing time and looking at the landscape, like Eli coming back and looking at bringing in someone like Shea Bechtel. And I just thought maybe he felt that St. Croix was a better option to get more minutes. But apparently that didn't really work out. Came back to us. But before he left the Legends, he had four injury plagued seasons at Green Bay. Couldn't kind of seem to stay on the field, but did see some times. Finished his COVID year last year at Central Arkansas, where he played in 17 games with 8 starts, scored 3 goals and added an assist. He's that speedy winger that brings not only high level pace, but super smart from an attacking mind perspective, constantly creating problems for defenders, pinning them back, likes to connect up with the number 9, so that feeding off that target forward. But Bernard, every now and then, can do the spectacular and then just buries one in the back of the net. And I'm really happy to have Bernard back because he's a hard worker, but he also holds people accountable. And that's something that we need to have. We need to have that coming from players like him, like Jonah, like Max, who've been here for a while and really truly do get it. And Bernard's been around since the old U23 days. So it's really nice to see him come back and be a contributor this summer.
Yeah, he's been one of those guys who has been around the club every minute that he could over the last year. When you think about Thanksgiving break, winter break, maybe spring break, I don't even know, but I know he's been around over Thanksgiving and winter. Like, he's just been training and training and training and making sure that he does everything he can to be here. He really is all in on the murder, and that's exactly the kind of presence that we need.
Absolutely.
With so many new faces. Speaking of new faces, we've got another one. Ryan Keefe, defender, University
of
Wisconsin.
In the show notes, I'm the one who spelled Wisconsin wrong. That's ironic. Ryan is a central defender from University of Minnesota, first year with the Crows. He is one of the many Shattuck St. Mary grads who made their way back to Minnesota for the summer. This guy goes about 6'2", pushing around 2 bills, so big center back, very mobile. Really the whole center back package. Can win balls in the air, makes those line breaking passes, starts the attack, organizes the back line really well to lock an attack down. But also, one thing that we haven't seen since we lost someone like Max and old Big Jack Barry, and even old faithful Trey Benhart, is someone from a set piece perspective that just goes and attacks a service from a set piece or a corner kick. So with 3 years with the Badgers, he's played 37 games, starting 26 of them, and he's amassed over 2,500 minutes in those 37 games. So he's one of those guys you put on the field and he doesn't come off of it. And he has scored 2 goals in his 3 years at Wisconsin on just those on set pieces. So really happy to have Ryan into the fold, and I think that he's going to be one of the prototypical center backs that we haven't maybe had since we last saw Max Kent marauding the back line.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is the way you describe him. I think when you ended last season, you'd think like, okay, defensively, what do we need?
And
we need height at the center back position, right? And here comes Max Kent. Here comes Nick Kent. He's all grown up. Here comes Ryan Keefe now.
Curtis.
And then when you mix in a guy like Jonah or some of these other guys that, like you said, can really, really have the vision and play some passes, like, we're pretty good shape.
Well, especially when you think about the fact that cat's out of the bag. Griffin Gierche is not going to be able to play with us this summer, recovering from a pretty serious back injury. We lose someone that has that size. and who has that passing ability. So, you know, there may be an instance where we might see a different type of back line deployed by Coach Craig and staff. I don't know. Maybe. I'm not saying we are. But yeah, really, really great. I mean, I don't think you could have hit the nail further on the head that, like, where we lacked depth last year was in the back line.
Yeah. Well, coming up next, John, fresh off of a national championship, we've got a couple players to announce, one being Clemente Arcuch-Puig, center midfielder out of
Second year with us, like you said, making his way back, fresh off a national championship with the Olies. And in his first year, deployed mostly as a center attacking midfielder for the Crows, but every time he came off the bench, he was that consistent offensive threat and always looking to go forward. And we kind of hadn't had a central midfielder like that since the old Samuel Ruiz Plaza days, where they get the ball, their heads up, and they're looking for that pass that's going to unlock the attack. So super happy to have him back. At school this past year, he played 22 matches, starting 19 of them, scoring 4 goals and adding 3 assists, and really was a mainstay in Coach Oliver's lineup each time out. And here's a fun fact. Each of his 3 goals that he scored, or 4 goals that he scored this season, were game winners. So one of those guys that doesn't bend with the pressure. Yep.
Clutch. Clutch.
And he's played in 67 matches, starting 53 of them, adding 12 goals and 12 assists. So kind of that rounded out midfielder where, you know, you can rely on them to score the goal, but also to set up their friends. And he was honorable mention all MIAC last season.
Yeah, I think in my notes I've got that he is probably the most underrated player. That is the most underrated returning player, I'd say, after the limited appearances that he had with the club last year. I really like his ability to possess and look dangerous going forward. Some of the times when he came in, I was like, man, right? This guy should have been in for the last half, right? More chemistry with the team is going to do him well, and I really hope that he can show everyone what he's got this year. Now, speaking of St. Olaf champions, let's welcome back forward Hakeem Morgan. He's going to be finishing up his college career at Loyola Marymount out there in beautiful
Los
Angeles,
the Big
California.
Tico is what I'm going to start calling him. His second year with the Crows, and is another player from that, like we mentioned, that Olies team, fresh out of their national championship, making the jump from D1 in his final, or from D3 to D1 in his final career. In college, year in college, which we know can be done. We saw it with Max Kent. During the fall, he was called up to the Costa Rican U23 national team for a set of Olympic qualifiers, which is awesome. So another international from a Crow perspective. Let's just call a spade here. He was the front man that the offense went through from a threat perspective with the Crows last summer. But I'm going to be honest, where he was let down was by service. I thought we didn't necessarily unlock his full potential and his goal scoring prowess with the service that he was given. I mean, he was given some opportunities, and he had to do a lot of checking back and creating for himself, where I think he revels in that. He really likes to get dirty and check back and get a ball and hold off a defender and you know, try to do some combination play. But what happens after that isn't what we unlocked. Like, he did all the dirty work. He wheeled off of you know, maybe checking two, and then we never found the ball to his foot again where he can unleash a shot. Deadly as a set piece specialist. We saw that against St. Croix. So you know, I think that I'm really looking forward to another summer with Hakeem. As far as how school went, he played in 60 games in his career at St. Olaf. What's that?
How did school go for the? How did school go for the champion?
60 games played in his career there, 58 starts, so definitely one of those players that you needed on the field. He had 33 goals and 23 assists, which is good enough for two-time All-MIAC, two-time All-Region, and second-team All-American.
Yeah, not bad. What I love about Hakeem is his ability to drop in and receive the ball a little deeper and let others make runs around him. I think you think back to the Shea Bechtel goal, prime example there, drops in. I mean, he's like deep from on the 40-yard line on the left wing, just like, what's Hakeem Morgan doing there? Oh, he's putting a dime on Shea Bechtel's head for a goal. Yeah. Like, with another year of high-level soccer that included a Tico U23 call-up, I just can't wait to see this guy add danger from anywhere in the field. Like you said, hopefully he gets the service so he can do it himself. But, man, Hakim, he's it's great that we got to get
him for another year. How phenomenal. As far as backup options are concerned, or different options for Coach Craig this year, there's some people that we haven't announced that are coming back that I think will help in that service piece to unlock Hakim. But like, think about the potential of having like a two forward system with he and Henry Kophoven. Like, that's some stuff we haven't done in a while.
Dude.
Is have two dangerous attackers up front working together as a unit. And that's really tough for defenses to try to figure out.
And you know, what's funny is when you mention that, it's something that nobody really does in our division. Like, it's all route one to the one speedy guy, Nathan Donovan or whoever. Whoever was on Manitoba, whoever is on Thunder Bay, like, nobody has that 1-2 punch up top. That's a good point. Well, like you said, there's more up our sleeve. There's going to be even more players announced every week. So stay tuned here to learn more about the entire team ahead of our May kickoff. Now, John, spring has sprung, and that means that we have put the Futures Winter League in the rearview mirror. Winter is gone. For those that were able to make it out to our Winter Park for our supporters night, you got to see a really high intensity game for the U21 title, but unfortunately you missed out on watching the U19 title game, as spring breaks and club, you know, kids and club travel meant that too many kids are missing to play that one. So instead, the U19 championship was played the next week. Regardless, we do have championship games to talk about. One thing I want to mention that this year was lost in like the leadership shuffle and the addition of the U19 team that fans might not have been aware of is that the Futures team didn't really have unique kits like in years past. We used to have like, you know, four teams, four special Minneapolis City kits that were really cool. Instead, we just opted for, because of all the new players, just opted for reversible kits for them to be able to use that were still really cool and very future specific. They had all the neighborhood names, all the Minneapolis neighborhood names in script on a black background or on a pink background. And the teams were still named after Minneapolis neighborhoods. So if you didn't get to show up and see that, that might be something you're like, hey, whatever happened to those neighborhoods? Well, they're still around. And the bottom neighborhood in each league is still relegated, passing into Futures history, right? Yeah. So let's start with the U21's future Winter League Championship. Who was squaring off and what happened? I did make it out, John, for the latter part of that game, but by the time I got there, it really already had turned into an intense back and forth affair.
Well, I remember who won. Intended, Nate, to post up and just watch the final, but a coach was needed for the third place game. And I'm going to be honest here. I spent most of the time looking over my shoulder at the final instead of attention to the game I was supposed to be helping coach. But the final was a hotly contested match between Powderhorn, the number three seed, taking on Nokomis, the number one seed. And thank God we had refs, because this is one of those situations, Nate, one of those games where all you had to do was tell highly competitive young adults that there was a title on the line, and then they all turn into complete savages. So,
dude, I saw just to put an exclamation point on that point, it was Ramadan still. And I saw Fade Nordo Kondo come off and needed a rest. And he hadn't had anything to drink. And he was asking, like, is it sundown? Can I drink? Can I drink? He's like, oh, my God, I need a break. And he took a drink. And keep in mind, he pulled himself off. And then he recovered a little bit. And the game was over by the time he was done. And he was mad. And it's like, dude, you asked him. He's yelling. He's like, why was on the sideline? Why was on the sideline for this? It's like, you asked to be over here. Like, everyone was so intense. This game was so intense. It was.
Yeah. The game ended up 7-6. So a lot of goals happened in that game. Plenty of goals. Augsburg defender Aiden Lee notched a hat trick from the back I totally lost 2-1. I didn't even look at that. Who won? Well, crap. Hang on. Nate, do some talking.
It was Max Kent's team. I don't know.
It wasn't
I
Max
remember Max Kent was on the
team.
It wasn't? It was the other one?
I closed the notes here.
Powderhorn or Nakoma?
The winner. I'm just anticipation here. The winner, 7-6, was Powderhorn.
You got it. Yeah. Wow. The number one seed. Upset.
So goals came from Aiden Lee notching mm-hmm. that hat trick, but it was Antonio Oliveras who saw time with the Futures UPSL team last summer. Limited time. Wasn't a full-time member of that team. Pounced on a rebound opportunity that came off the gloves of goalkeeper Holden Waldrum for Nokomis. Waldrum had 9 super big saves on the day. Like, he was standing on his head. But was unable to make that 10th save before Oliveras got the little toe poke and was able to snatch the golden goal winner with just 2 minutes left to go in overtime. And if you go to Twitter X, you can see Kyle Eliason interviewed him about that opportunity. And it was really great to see, you know, how excited he was to bring home that title. But that's how it ended, 7-6. Congratulations to Powderhorn.
Nice work, Powderhorn. As I said, the U19s had to wait a week to play. And John, because I'm trying my best not to be a helicopter parent, I did not attend that final. But here's what I know.
You should have just gone.
I should have just gone. I know. It's in the end. There's only so many games I can watch. Or there's only so many games left to watch. You know, they all grew up so fast. But here's what I know about this. It was a battle of the number 2 seed that had a lot of talent on paper. We just talked about this before before the show. A lot of the MTA 2007s were on that number 2 seeded team, Eli Baker's team. And they are currently the number 1 seeded 2007 ECNL team in the country. And the number 4 seed that was coming off of an upset, having dominated, I'm going to say dominated the top seed 2 weeks prior. Which was, I don't know, I was happy about that. That was another team that you had coached previously, and you were not on the sideline for that one. And, of course, that's when the team lost. What struck me about the U19 League this year, just in general, as I was looking at the results, was how back and forth mm-hmm. all of these games were. And every result was so close. You're talking about 7-6, 5-4, 4-3. Like, every result was within one goal. No blowouts. Any, you know, the number 4 seed was unlucky to be there. The number 1 seed, you could say, was lucky to be there, right? The parity, there was, you guys did such a good job building this U19 program that the talent was so equal across all these teams. It was really a crapshoot week in and week out who was going to win. I really loved it. And this game was true to that trend.
Being between Camden, that was actually the squad that I did have the pleasure to coach during the regular season. Not in this game. I'm going to heavily caveat that because I did not lose another Futures final.
Yep.
in my 2 years, yep. 3 years of coaching the Futures, I've lost 2 championships. Anyways, that we don't have to talk about that. Against the number 1 seeded team, Ventura Village. I don't even know where is Ventura Village in Minnesota.
I looked it up. It's
north.
All right,
well,
I think it's north.
It was a true Cinderella story that I unfortunately was not able to see because I was not in town. But Ventura Village, the 4th seed, took home the title with a scoreline of 4-2. And I only know the score. I don't know who the big players were. I don't know who scored the goals. But that's what I get for being out of town on vacation and not coaching another final and potentially losing it for the third time in a row. But
yeah. Who was the center back that was playing on Ventura Village that was kind of like trialing with the team?
I don't remember.
Olin really liked him. He's just been a rock for that. He was a rock for that team in the playoffs on defense. That was an interesting squad too, because you had the Stillwater Woodbury connection. We're, you know, enemies in October, but friends by March, as Colin Vilm was able to line up with Olin and play really well together. So like Danny, you know, I don't know his last name off the top of my head, but Danny was looking really good out there. And they beat the likes of Ethan Lemoyne, Sebi Fernandez. You had Ethan Brown. A lot of guys that we're probably going to see this summer. We're on that Camden squad. And, you know, like I said, just kind of any given Sunday situation with this Futures squad. And lucky I was unlucky to have not seen Ventura Village take it all. That would have been a great game to watch. But congratulations to all the boys. Really successful Futures season. Another successful Futures Winter League just all around on the U19, U21 level with, I think, a lot to be proud of for every player and really a lot of learnings for the club to take into next year as they build out like what it means to run a U19 squad as well as a U21 squad, as well as the semi-pro top team. From this pool of players, John, the UPSL U21 and U19 players have already been notified, from what I gather, and they are training. And they're ready to kick off in early May, first game, May 5th, against Joy Athletic. So more on these final UPSL rosters to come, but I am definitely looking forward to the talent that's going to be out there pressing for more Midwest.
Yeah, I'm excited. For this coming week, we do our U21 and U19 roster reveals. But yeah, I'm with you. I think the future is bright. So it has been many moons since we last got the murder all together, but we are ready to do it this coming week as the club will be hosting our annual preseason event on Thursday, April 18th at the Corner Bar in Minneapolis, down in Seven Corners, our old stomping grounds, Nate, down there.
Yeah.
The festivities start off at 6.
Preston's is gone, so I don't get there that much. Sergeant Preston's is long gone. Yeah, I haven't been down there in three years,
maybe four. The festivities start off at 6:15, and this year we're covering off a year in review. So talking about how things went last year, everyone loves that. They get their eyes on kind of what, you know, peeling back the layers and getting a look at what happened last season and last year with the club outside of getting our trailer stolen. But we will also be featuring and treated to a conversation with second year head man Carl Craig, as well as discussion from President Adam Pribble, newly minted President Adam Pribble. The guts of the event will go until about 7:15, so we got about an hour of presentation, hopefully in about an hour, but everyone gets talky, as we know, before happy hour starts. And if you are a member and you do come, you can meet some of the players. I think the Kent brothers are going to be there, Jonah, Henry Tophoven's going to be there. There's also going to be the 2024 sponsors were invited, so you can meet Gunner from what Barber Lounge. You can meet some of the folks from Shells. And then, of course, speaking of Shells, put back as many of those as you can afford to drink and drive home responsibly, because they are our new sponsor this year. But Nate, you and I have hosted a few of these in the past, and it really is a great time for people to kind of start that annual excitement of what's going to come in the summer. But also, like we talked about, talk about the last season as well. And it's also the chance for members to ask those hard-hitting questions that for some reason are no longer asked on this here show via our email hotline. So it's your only opportunity to ask some questions until the end of the season. So come on out if you're a member. If you're not, we'll tell you how to get tickets here in a little bit.
Yeah, I absolutely love these events, and I'm going to definitely be there. I'm going to bring the boy, and we're going to crush some of the Corner Bar's almost world-famous Joey Wings, something that I only know about because of the Augsburg.
Yep. I was going to say, I've read a couple of ad reads for you.
So as a reminder, that event is going to take place Thursday, April 18th, starting at 6:15 at the Corner Bar in Minneapolis over there in the Seven Corners neighborhood. I'm excited for that. And that's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you to our wonderful show sponsor, footballstadiumprints.com. John, I wore my Ibsen shirt out today, and I got some love randomly at Menards with that. So I'm going to say our friends at footballstadiumprints.com do you right with their soccer-focused t-shirt designs. You can find the Ibsen shirt, you can find the Elder shirt, you can find the Bizworm shirt, and you are going to get mad love when you're out on the town. Don't forget to use the code CROWS10 for 10% off everything you purchase. And remember, all U.S. orders ship right from the States, so there's no pesky international shipping charges. As a reminder, Minneapolis City is a 501c3, so you can feel good that your membership doubles as a charitable donation to a club that does good. Memberships for the 2024 season are still, of course, on sale. Make sure you cement your seat in the stands and get some sweet, sweet swag, all for a price that destroys other clubs' price of entry. head to MinneapolisCity.com, MPLSCitySC.com, and get yours today. Remember, everyone, you can always find us on Twitter X at The People's Pitch, and you can even email us if you have any questions. Like John mentioned, nobody emails us anymore because email is dead. If you have any questions or topics you want covered on the show, mcscpodcast@gmail.com. Of course, you can always connect with the club on Twitter at MPLSCitySC, Instagram as well. That's all for this week. I'm Nate. That was John. The preseason has kicked off. We will bring you more updates on USL2 player signings. Like John said, we've got UPSL player signings to talk about, rosters for the U21s and U19 teams, as well as some schedules to talk about, and maybe a little bit of maybe some predictions to make. But until next time,
good luck, Keith.